I want you to be finding Acts chapter 8. And while you're finding, let me say this, that the way you end up has an awful lot to do with the way you begin. That's true in a race. It's true in your pursuit of an education. It's true in building a business. It's true in building a church. And it's certainly true in building a Christian life. I want to talk to you today about how to start right. And there may be some of you here today who still haven't started right because you've never obeyed what the Bible has to say about believers' baptism. Here's the background for our scripture passage today. God has taken his servant, Philip, who's an evangelist, and he's taken him from Samaria, where a great revival was going on, out into the desert by a miracle, really. He was transported from Samaria to the desert. And it was there in the desert that Philip saw a man of great authority. He was a eunuch, the treasurer of Queen Candace of Ethiopia. He's riding along in a chariot. He's got a scroll of Isaiah in his hands, and he's reading it. And he'd been down to Jerusalem searching for God, but the revival fires in Jerusalem had grown cold, and he's gotten somehow a copy of the scroll of Isaiah. He's reading from Isaiah chapter 53, and God tells Philip, look, buddy, there's your opportunity on wheels. I want you to go join this man and witness to him. And so Philip goes to the chariot, catches up with it, and he introduces himself. And the man says, look, I don't understand what all this means. Philip says, I'd be glad to help you with that. So he jumps up on the chariot. The man's just sort of letting the horses have their lead. And that's where we break into the story. In Acts chapter 8, verse 35 through 39, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? Now, if you have one of the new perverted versions of the Bible, the next verse may not even be in that Bible. It's only in the real Bible. And it says, if thou believest with all thine heart, that's the qualification. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down, look, they went down, look, they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out, of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Philip preached unto this eunuch Jesus. He didn't preach to him denomination. He didn't preach race relations to him. He didn't preach politics in Ethiopia to him. He didn't preach about social economics to him. He preached Jesus. And as soon as possible after this man's confession and belief in Jesus Christ was done, he got off and was baptized. There are two great mistakes about baptism. First of all, baptism is not what saves us. Some get the idea that baptism, since it's not what saves us, isn't important. Others say that without baptism, you have no possibility of being saved. Both are a mistake. While baptism is not necessary to salvation, baptism is necessary for obedience. Obedience, then, is necessary for joy and for growth and for a fruitful Christian life. we believers dare not minimize what the Bible emphasizes. Now, how did Jesus begin his public ministry? He began by being baptized. How did he conclude his public ministry? He concluded it by commanding baptism. In his baptism, Jesus identified himself with us. In our baptism, we identify ourselves with him. First thing that I want you to notice this morning is the biblical method of baptism. Our text says they went down into the water. It takes a lot of water for baptism. The word for baptism in the Greek, baptizo, means to immerse. To immerse. It's incredibly obvious that the proper method for baptism is to place a person under the water and then bring them back up out of the water. It was the same way with the baptism of Jesus. Folks, it's not an optional way. It's the only way. Look at Mark chapter 1, verse 9. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. It doesn't say he was baptized near the Jordan. It doesn't say he was baptized with the Jordan. It says he was baptized in Jordan. And straightway, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open. He's coming up out of the water. Now, if he's coming up out of the water, tell me where he was. He was down in the water. Jesus was baptized by immersion. He didn't do it that way because it was easy or because it was convenient for him. It wasn't. It's about a 50-mile trip one way, and they walked. So why did he travel so far to be baptized? Because there's a lot of water in Jordan. It takes a lot of water to be baptized. Look at John chapter 3, verse 23. And John also was baptizing in Enon near to Salem because there was what? Much water there. And they came and were baptized. John could have baptized everybody in the city of Jerusalem with a 50-gallon drum of water if the method of baptism was sprinkling or pouring. But John went to this place because it takes a lot of water to baptize. Becky and I were on a mission trip down in Madera, Old Mexico. If you ever want to see the armpit of the earth, that's it. I've got a lot to say about Madera, but there were some good things too. There was a granny there, 80-some years old, in the little church that we were ministering to, lived up in the mountains. 80-some years, walked down a rocky, craggy ravine every night in the dark to come to the revival service and then back up again when it was over with. She was a faithful lady. She had a granddaughter who was going to college in Chihuahua City. And they were poor, you know, they didn't have a lot of money. But this girl had been saved, but she'd never been baptized. And that's a long story in and of itself. The quick way to say it is the young preacher at that church had never been officially ordained yet. He was licensed, but he hadn't ordained. He didn't want to seem out of place by doing a baptismal service until he was ordained. That's the short version of it. So he asked me if I would baptize this young lady. And I said, well, if it's okay with you and if you ask the church for permission for me to baptize, then I'll do it. So he asked the church at night revival. They granted me permission to do it. And I said, okay, I'll do it. Well, our team gathered up enough money to buy a bus ticket for this young lady to come from Chihuahua all the way back to Madera. I think it's about a five-hour ride to get up there. And we spent several hours that day with buckets and hoses and everything trying to fill the old concrete baptistry up that they had there so we could baptize this young lady, and it was a great service and so on and so forth. Well, anyway, my point is it wasn't convenient. It took a lot of work to get this young lady baptized. And her baptism took a lot of water. Now, our text says they went down into the water and they came up out of the water. And when you read the word baptism in your Bible, you need to understand it's basically an untranslated word. When King James wanted to put the Word of God into the language of the common people, he got the best scholars in the world and had them go to work. Well, when they came to the word baptism, they were in a quandary. If they translated it into what it actually means, immerse, they were afraid they might offend the king because the king belonged to a church that didn't immerse. They followed the traditions of men rather than the Word of God. And so when they came to this word, they had a problem, and they decided not to offend the king, and they just didn't translate the word at all. They didn't translate it, they transliterated it. They just changed a letter or two to get it out of Greek and into English. And so it came out baptism instead of baptizo. Now, they didn't have the courage to make it say what it actually means because they were afraid they were going to offend the king. Kind of goes along with our lesson today, doesn't it? They respected his authority and didn't want to offend him. Well, all the early Christians practiced immersion baptism. If you go to all the old European cathedrals that were built before the 13th century, every one of them have baptistries, sort of like we have. They weren't made out of fiberglass, they were made out of stone or concrete or whatever. You say, but what? Who cares about the method? I deeply care about the method. And the reason is the method is all wrapped up in the meaning of baptism. You can't change the method without destroying the meaning. The meaning has to do with what God did for you when he saved you. I never baptized anyone without taking them to my office and sitting down and explaining Romans chapter 6 first. And all of you in here that I've baptized, you know that's the truth. I want you to look at Romans chapter 6 verses 1 and 2. Paul says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? That's the key to the whole passage. Being saved means dying to your old way. And then he says in verses 3 through 5, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are, what's the next word? Buried with him by baptism into death. That is like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been, what's the next word? Planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. That's your biography there. It shows your past, your present, and your future. It's your past in verse 4. Therefore, we are buried. That's past tense. We are buried with him by baptism into death. When you get baptized, you're picturing the fact that the old person that you used to be before you accepted Jesus Christ, that person has died. I pictured my death back in about 1973 when I got baptized. But I actually died about a little over 2,000 years ago because Christ's death had my name on it. Jesus carried my sin to the cross and he suffered, bled, and died for me. And he paid my sin debt in full. And when I place my faith in him, I died with him. Verse 6, Romans 6, 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. See it? That the body of sin might be destroyed. The old person I used to be before Christ, that's destroyed. That henceforth we should not serve sin. When I got baptized, Pastor D.R. Philly held my funeral. He buried me with Christ by baptism. Now, if I die physically and you drag me out to the graveyard and bust a dirt clod over my head and then say we buried the pastor, that's despicable. That's a disgrace. Don't leave me out there in the graveyard for the sun to bake me and the buzzards to eat me. Bury me. Put me under. Immerse me under that soil. You know, they buried me in 73 by baptism, and the only mourner at my funeral was the devil. He hated to see me die. That all speaks about my past. And thank God my sin has been buried in the grave of God's forgetfulness. Wow. You don't have to be haunted by the ghost of guilt. Just as Christ was put into that grave, you're put in a liquid tomb when you're baptized. And look at verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Look, Jesus didn't stay in that grave. He got up out of that grave. I didn't stay under that water. I came up out of that water. We don't believe in submersion. We believe in immersion. If you submerge something, it might stay down there. I've threatened to hold a few people under till they bubble. But we practice immersion. Now, when we come up out of that water, that pictures our new life with Christ. My baptism says I have a brand new life. Because, folks, Christians aren't just nice people. They're brand new creatures. When you come up out of that water, you're saying, I've come up out of that grave of that old life, and I've been raised to walk in a newness of life with Jesus. It not only speaks to your past, you're buried. Not only does it speak of your present, you have a new life. It also speaks of your future. Verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. See, one of these days I am going to die physically. One of these days they are going to put me in that grave, but you know what? The grave couldn't hold Jesus. It ain't going to be able to hold me either. God's going to raise me up so I don't have to have any fear of death whatsoever. There was two caterpillars inching along on the ground one day. One of the caterpillars looked up and saw one of those former caterpillars that had been metamorphosed into a beautiful butterfly. And he said, you'll never get me up in one of those things. Listen, if you have a fear of flying, you better get over it, because if you're saved, you're going to fly. In the rapture, you're going to fly. We don't need to fear death any more than that caterpillar was fearful of becoming that butterfly. We're going to be in the likeness of his resurrection. And baptism is a picture of our death, burial, and resurrection in Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. If you were the devil, wouldn't you want to get rid of that message out of the church? The gospel is simply this. Jesus Christ became our substitute. He died, was buried, and he rose again on the third day. That's the gospel. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you can look it up. God commands us to be baptized because he wants to constantly make real to us what happens when we get saved. We die with Christ, we're buried with Christ, and we're raised with Christ. We're going to go home to be with Christ. Baptism's a symbol of all of that. You say, but Pastor, it's just a symbol. Any symbol will do. Oh? Well, suppose you ask me for a picture of my wife, and I reach into my wallet and I pull out a picture of a sports car. You say, is that your wife? I said, no, not really, but any old picture will do. If it's not a likeness of her, then why would I call it a picture of her? The scriptures tell us that baptism is in the likeness of his death and resurrection, and the symbol of that is immersion. That's what I mean when I say the method and the meaning are so wrapped up together. But what about the motive for baptism? Why should we be baptized? Well, there are three reasons. First of all, it proclaims your commitment to Jesus Christ. You're saying, Jesus, I am identifying myself with you openly and publicly. Now, baptism doesn't make you a Christian, but it shows that you're a Christian. You see this ring right here on this finger? I've been wearing that ring for over 44 years. Okay? Now, that ring doesn't make me married, but it shows that I'm married. It shows that I love Becky. It shows that I'm a one-woman man. It shows that I'm not ashamed of being married. I'm not trying to pass myself off as somebody or something that I'm not. I belong to Becky. Now, when you get baptized, you're saying, I belong to Jesus. When he got baptized, he identified himself with us. When we get baptized, we identify ourselves with him. A little boy got saved. This church had children's church. So the little boy gets saved over in children's church, and the children's church director says, now you need to go over to big church and tell them that you got saved and that you need to be baptized. Well, he tried to get it right. He went over and told the preacher, he says, I got saved and I need to be advertised. He was right. He may have got the word wrong, but he was right. When you get saved, you need to advertise that you belong to Jesus Christ. It's a commitment to proclaim. It's also a conversion to portray. You're saying, I want you to know what's happened to me. I want you to know that I've been saved. That's why I always tell the people I'm baptizing, invite all your lost friends and family to come witness your baptism. They'll come as a favor to you. And when they get here, they're going to hear a gospel message. You're going to advertise what's happened to you. And I can tell you about many, many instances where people have seen somebody else get baptized, and because of that event, they eventually got saved themselves. And thirdly, baptism is a command to obey. Baptism is not a suggestion, it's a command. Over in Matthew chapter 28 is found what we call the Great Commission. Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. What's the next word? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have suggested to you. Is that what it says? Whatever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Now, in Acts chapter 10, verses 46 through 48, it says, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized? Now look at these next few words. Which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we. Why am I emphasizing that? Because that tells me you can receive the Holy Ghost before you're baptized. Baptism doesn't save you. Belief in Jesus Christ saves you. They received the Holy Ghost before they were baptized. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. He didn't suggest it. He commanded it. Obedience always brings joy and fruitfulness in the Christian life. If Christians are lacking joy, it's because they're not being obedient to the Lord. When Philip left that eunuch in the desert, it says that he went on his way rejoicing. Why? He'd obeyed the Lord. In Acts 16, verse 34, the Philippian jailer and his whole household get saved. And it says they rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Obedience brings joy. And fruitfulness. Some of you may be asking God to help you understand the Bible. Or you may be saying, God, help me to have a fruitful Christian life. Well, let me ask you something. Have you obeyed everything you already know? Have you obeyed what God has showed you so far? Why should God give you more light if you're not obeying the light he's already given you? God's blessings are not for rebels. Now, I'm going to tell you a story and I'll be finished. Now, if I've said repeatedly, baptism doesn't make you saved any more than this ring makes me married. Don't ever let the symbol take place of the reality. One of our denominational workers, Southern Baptist Convention workers, was with his family in Washington, D.C. They'd gone to the Smithsonian. They were in the place that displays items related to American history, and they were specifically in a place where there is a display of all the president's wives in their inaugural gowns. At the time, Lyndon Johnson was the president of the United States, so Lady Bird Johnson was the first lady. And this denominational worker had his children and his wife over there standing in front of this wax figurine of Lady Bird Johnson and was taking their picture. And when he turned around, who do you suppose was standing right there? Lady Bird Johnson. And they thought, how fortunate are we to be here at this exact moment? And they got to fellowship with Lady Bird Johnson for a little while. Well, while they were doing that, some other fella comes in with his family, and he's setting up his camera and everything, and he wants to get a picture of his children with Lady Bird. And he asks this bunch of people, would you all mind scooting over a little bit? I want to get a picture of Lady Bird. Ms. Johnson didn't say a word. She just stepped back. And here is this man taking a picture of a wax figurine when the real thing's standing right behind him. Baptism is just a picture. Don't fail to focus on Jesus, the real thing. Don't push Jesus to the side so you can focus on the picture. Thank God for the symbol and for who it represents, but baptism, whether a teaspoonful or an ocean full, never saved anybody. You're saved by placing your trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And if you give your heart to Jesus today, you're going to be as saved as you ever will be, even before you get baptized. Now, on the other hand, if you don't get saved, you can be baptized so many times the tadpoles have got your Social Security number. And you're still going to be lost. The Bible simply and sublimely says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now with that, I want them to put a picture up on the screen. See that young man? Name's Kyle Abbey. I really don't remember why we were at the lake. This is a lake we had at the town we were at for 17 and a half years before we came to Webb. And for some, we had a baptistry, but for some reason, I don't remember why, we're out at the lake, and I'm going to baptize Kyle out in the lake. And I think the next picture shows, yeah, there he is being baptized. Now, of course, I'm showing you this picture because our subject today is baptism, but there's another reason why I'm showing you this picture. I can't remember how old Kyle was there. He wasn't very old. But several years later, when Kyle was a teenager, he and some of his friends were in a pickup. Kyle was in the back of the pickup. They were going down a country road too fast. The pickup rolled, and Kyle got killed. those pictures are pretty important to me. But not nearly so important as the fact that Kyle obeyed God and got baptized before his life ended. Our musicians are going to come. We're going to have a time of invitation. I wonder if there's anybody here who is yet to obey the Lord's command to be baptized. Or is there anyone here who knows that they got baptized before they were really saved? All you got was wet. You're the only one who knows that. You and God, the only ones that knows the true answer to those questions. I want you to stand. We're going to sing what?
409.
409 is our invitation hymn. And folks, I just want you to get real serious with God right now and be honest with Him. Have you obeyed His command regarding baptism? If not, do it before it's too late. Let's sing. It's true that everyone in this place can honestly say that there's not one thing between my soul and the Savior, and that all is well with my soul. If not, you just missed a wonderful opportunity to get that straight. Fathers, I hope you have a glorious, glorious day with your family. Happy Father's Day. And I'm going to turn it over to Gary so we can beat the Methodists down the cafeteria.
Okay.
All right, Gary. And I think Lisa has an announcement.
Oh, Lisa has an announcement? Yeah. Okay, Lisa. I was looking for Craig. Y'all are about the same height. I just
hand me the mic so I'm done. Okay, as we all know, VBS is coming soon. We're all so excited. So next Saturday, next Saturday, we'll be setting up. We'll open the church at 9 o'clock in the morning, and we'll be setting up for as long as we need to, and then we can set up after church as well on Sunday. So just come in any way that you can help. We would love for you to help our teachers get their rooms ready, anything that we need. Take flyers from the outside in the foyer. There are stacks of flyers. Take any that you need. Pass them out. Invite everyone you know, any friends or families or neighbors that you know. If you can bring a meal, I think we got that figured out, so I think we're okay on meals. And then I would just ask that you would fervently pray for our VBS, for all our volunteers, and that God would make the way clear for any child that he needs to be here, so that they can hear about Jesus and everything that we've just heard about this morning. So thank y'all.
Thank you, Lisa. Sandra has. If y'all want to sit down 1 second, we'll have you stand back up. Won't be long. Okay.
So since we're all going to be here next Saturday from 9 to 12, the youth and children who are going to camp are going to be washing cars. So it'll be our last fundraiser. So this will help pay for their registration fees. Those that participate, it will help finish off paying their registration fees. It's a big, important, and we sure appreciate your generosity in helping our kids work toward that. Then if I have any children or parents who are here today and you've not given me your registration forms for summer camp, I need them. So come see me. And that's it.
All right. Thank you, Sandra. Let's join hands and dismiss.
We are one.